Our justice system in America is broken. Too often, men are condemned to death for crimes they did not commit. Kevin Cooper sits on death row in California for crimes he may be innocent of. The new book, Scapegoat, The Chino Hills Murders and the Framing of Kevin Cooper by author J. Patrick O'Connor asks the question, did the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department frame Kevin Cooper? This riveting new book exposes our broken justice system and the sad reality that some men in America have been and will be executed for crimes they did not commit. Get your copy of Scapegoat, The Chino Hills Murders and the Framing of Kevin Cooper by author J. Patrick O'Connor, available at bookstores everywhere and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksamillion.com.
Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kaye in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you're an author or independent recorded artist, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow the links we've provided at artistsfirst.com to get all the details. This hour, it's our privilege to introduce author Jordan T. Maxwell, author of Dandy Flowers, Laura's Diaries. You can follow the link we've provided on Artist First's homepage, dandyflowers.com, to learn more about our guest and his fascinating book. Questions or comments, send them to dj@artistfirst.com. And Jordan and I were having so much fun earlier off the air, we almost forgot it was time to start the show. So thanks for joining us. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Wow. We're having a good time at Artist First Radio. It's just phenomenal, the quality of the guests that are coming our way every day, including you. Thank you for supporting the arts and being here a second time to be tortured by Tony Kaye. I think that's fabulous.
Well, you know, someone has to do it.
And, yeah.
I'm taking one for the team here.
Well, thanks a lot. And you're just a rough guy. You must, I think I recall from our previous conversation that you are a bell boy. No, I don't mean that kind. A telephone man.
No, not
okay.
At all.
Different author then. Okay.
Different author.
Wanted to make sure I had that straight. Okay. You're having a good time with authorship and putting this series together. Tell our audience about your second book.
Well, the second book is a continuation of the first book. Gee, go figure about that. When I was writing the first book,
someone must have liked the first one. Is that right, or was it your plot from the beginning to write to?
Well, after when I was writing the first one, I was almost through with it. And I thought there's more to this story because I had a lot to say. And so there, in the first book, there's a period of time when the main character of Laura and Jerry have twins. And they're born, and then boom, they're 2 years old. The second book, Laura's Diaries, is basically that whole two-year period that I skipped in the first book. And like I said, there was just a lot going on. When Laura and Jerry are active in the story, it's in the 1960s. And this two-year period that Laura's Diaries takes place in is basically all of 1968 and most of 1969. And, you know, a lot of stuff went on during 68 and 69. Martin Luther King was murdered. Bobby Kennedy was murdered. And then in 69, you had the Apollo 11 moon landing. And I like history.
And Woodstock.
I did not put Woodstock in there. I should have, but I didn't.
The Cultural Revolution, totally ignored. How could
you
do that?
You know,
that would be like writing about the Obama administration and neglecting the Wall Street protesters.
What? There was a Wall Street protest? You know, you got to kind of cut and put in what you want. And I'm a history buff. And in the first book, you know, I talked a lot about the Kennedy assassination. You know? So I just like bringing in the real world and kind of weaving a fictional tale through it. And I had to pick and choose. I did contemplate Woodstock, but I just went ahead and I made that decision of not putting it in there because, oh, God only knows where that would have gone. And
Well, really, though, it's your love of history that that allows an audience to get connected somehow.
Well, I think so. At least I hope so. I've had a lot of good comments. Never really had any bad comments. So either people are really liking it or they're just extremely nice and don't want to hurt my feelings. But, yeah, I've had a lot of fun writing them, having fun working on some current projects. I think I'm you know, I like writing fiction. And I think my next one is going to be a short story where the Green Bay Packers actually won last Sunday when the Chiefs lost. So, you know, obviously total fiction there.
Well, but your loyalties are there, so, that's okay. We have the same issue here near Cleveland, Ohio, with a little team called the Browns.
I've heard of them, yes.
Yeah, we have a little loyalty factor here.
Actually, with the Chiefs, Green Bay game on Sunday, I didn't care who won. You know, had Green Bay won, great. They would have kept their undefeated streak going. Had the Chiefs won, well, you kind of got to love a spoiler, and I kind of like to think that was just payback for Super Bowl I. So,
yeah. But are you hearing where we're going, audience, with Jordan T. Maxwell, our guest? Really, writing, it can be so powerful because it connects you with interests and things that you cherish in your life. It's a little bit of memory lane or getting connected with a character that is penned by someone else. So these diaries, the book that you've written is designed to bring an audience into the story.
Certainly, and part of the second story, really the only complaint I had with the first book was that the character of Laura was too perfect. You know, I've had everybody who read it and has talked to me about it, they said, you know, Laura is just too perfect. I said, well, you've got to think about who was telling that part of the story. It's the guy who fell in love with her and cherishes her memory. And so in the second book, we find out that Laura, although she's a pretty nice and sweet gal, she does have a few faults, and she can get herself into a little bit of trouble, nothing terribly bad, but you find that she's not 100% perfect. And I had a lot of fun doing that. She had some egg excitement with her cheerleader friends in the story and a person from her school they didn't particularly care for, and I just won't tell any more about that.
Yeah, be careful. That's right. We want to give away just enough, tease them. Buy the book.
Buy lots of them.
Yes, dandyflowers.com, right there on your cell phone. Go ahead, put it in there, right there. Buy it today, have it tomorrow. It's also as an ebook.
Yep.
Yeah, ebook. So everyone can afford that. All 4 million of you. Go ahead, right now.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yes. So it's a great mechanism. And how long does it take you to really think about a story and your characters and developing them? Now that you have your first and you've moved into your second, there's some of that was fleshed out. How much of it do you want to bring into the second volume?
Really, it was my friend Cheryl, after she read the second book, she paid me a really high compliment. She said, you know, you kept the same voice in the second book. And it was just really a continuation of the first. When I was writing the story, I really don't have an outline other than in my head, and it's a very general outline. You know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and then I go in and flash it back out. But to develop the character, it just kind of, they develop themselves. And writing the first draft of both books was the easy part. Then going back and revising and rewriting and in some cases completely eliminating things I've written and starting over. But to develop it, it's, you know, I just kind of write from the cuff, if you will, kind of shoot from the hip and just run with it. And so far, that's worked for me.
Yeah, but you'll be able to keep it. Those characters are distinct. That's what I was driving at.
Okay.
Really, as the compliment went, you were able to speak in her voice and continue mm-hmm. that on. That usually requires some effort by an author.
I guess there's effort there, but it didn't seem like work.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Laura was really almost someone that you could identify with that made it easy mm-hmm. for you to speak in her voice.
Oh, very much so.
She was able to, you think you were able to capture more of her in the second book than in the first?
I think so. Like I said, the first book, it's more from Jerry's perspective. He was talking about this girl he fell in love with, and you know, somebody said she was too perfect, like I said a little bit ago. But the thing you have to remember, if you talk about someone who is no longer with you for whatever reason, you know, what do you remember that they bit their fingernails, or do you remember that they had a really beautiful smile? And so, you know, when you talk about that, looking back, you kind of forget the rough edges and kind of look at the main stone that is the diamond. And that's kind of what he did. So in the second book, it's written from the perspective of the passages are from Laura herself, from her diaries. And it kind of transitions into the past where you can see what's going on. I think I captured her very well. Laura, I guess, would be my dream girl. She's comprised from a lot of people that I have known, do know, or in some instances sure would like to know. And so she's a blend of she's my dream girl.
They took the words right out of my mouth. They're in your dreams, Jerry. In other words, the image that you feel like for you, the ideal, would be this.
Sure.
And so
absolutely.
That is something that you understand. Of course, you have to have an understanding about yourself and a certain level of maturity to do that. And people write at different phases. It's interesting that if I was interviewing an author perhaps in their teens or in their 20s or in their 40s or in their 50s and approaching authorship for the first time, you know, they're coming at it from the backdrop of either a few or a lot of years.
Sure, sure. In fact, we'll go back to the whole football thing. I don't know if you saw 2 weeks ago that Santa Claus proposed to a Tennessee Titans cheerleader. I don't know if you saw that on the news or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that cheerleader was the model for Laura. I have known that young lady since she's 11 years old. Her name's Janae Graham, and her blue eyes are Laura's blue eyes. So that was pretty exciting to see that happen. Her now fiancé, Ben Graham, is a wonderful guy. Hope I get to meet him this week when they're back for Christmas. But, yeah, I got a big football tie-in this week.
Well, you better have lots of food if you're meeting them.
Yeah, you know.
Those 6,000 calorie a day diets when they're in the middle of it all.
Well, he's actually a baseball player. He's not a football player. She is a very tiny, petite, athletic little cheerleader. I'm not sure if she can put away the groceries now or not. So I might have to meet her at McDonald's or something to get her a Happy Meal and run.
Well, you wait till baseball season comes around. My point, those guys, they can pound it down. You're talking about baseball player. Yeah,
that's
I don't
right.
care if they're 5 foot tall. They're eating themselves in body weight. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean just hot dogs either, folks. Yeah, you go run around the field for a while and see what you're going to want to eat afterward. The whole cow. You better be bringing it out. Well, I know you guys will have fun. You'll enjoy it. And maybe some of those circles are getting close to an athlete of his caliber will stimulate new ideas for future books.
Who knows?
He could become someone's boyfriend in a future book. You know, and that's just how authorship works. You find these connections with reality, and you're able to put your twist of what you think reality should be, and
sure.
there you go. Now a new product, a story, people have been invented.
That's right. And you know what's really fun about and the whole writing process, and I've done this, I do this all the time, I'll write something, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't like that. You know what? I wrote it. I can change it. And I do. So, you know, it's fun to invent. It's fun to create. It's also fun to, like I tried to do with the two books, you know, bringing actual historical events into it, trying to capture that. In the second book, the one we're talking about tonight, Laura's Diaries, there's a kind of a secondary character who, in the story, knows Martin Luther King Jr. And researching that and the whole civil rights movement, well, that was a lot of fun. And I think I captured it pretty well.
or at least enough of it to identify the period and the setting. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Obviously, you're not there to be a historian in the truest sense, but that is a backdrop for you. It's like painting a canvas, right? It's saying, here's the streets and the lay, and here's the way people were thinking or what was going on that could trigger a whole lot of other thoughts in your mind.
Yeah, there's a whole scene in the book where they are talking to Martin Luther King Jr. and his brother and his father. Well, that never happened, so I had to be really careful there. And that's why that nice disclaimer is at the very beginning of the book. These are fictional characters or real characters used in a fictional setting, so it did not really happen, obviously. But I tried to keep it true to that time period and what I thought would the real characters that I put in the book might have acted like or have done, and I think I was pretty close to that.
Now, is writing, Jordan, very much something you do on a daily basis? Are you getting up in the morning, or as ideas present themselves to you? How do you structure your writing?
I'm chaotic when I write. I write when the mood strikes. There may be periods of time, like a week or two goes by, I won't open up any of the documents I'm working on. And then there's times I'll sit down and just write for hours and hours and hours at a stretch. So I don't have a deadline. The only deadline is the ones I set for myself. And if I'd stay off the internet and stay off Facebook, I'd probably have four or five more novels done. But get a little distracted messing around on there. But no, when I do write, and especially with the first book, I was a lot more structured with that. I would sit down at 7 p.m. every night, and my goal was to write for 1 hour. And I need to get back to that. I'm not doing that as well as I once did. But I just write when the mood strikes. And there's times where I'll sit down to write, get the word processor opened up, have the fingers on the keyboard, and think, it's not happening tonight, and go do something else. So other writers that I know, other authors that I'm in contact with, they're a lot more structured than I. They'll sit there and they'll say, from 7 p.m. to 10, that is my writing time, or whatever time they've set up for themselves. But I do a lot of thinking. I've got about a 40-minute commute to my day job, and I do a lot of thinking in the car and jot some notes down when they come to me. And I muddle through it, and I'm having a good time muddling.
That secretary who made those sticky pads with the adhesive on the back, I paid her a fortune. I have them everywhere. They're on my head. They're in my ear and my back pocket. They're stuck.
I'm telling you.
They're still stuck in probably pants somewhere. If I ever reach it, I might find an old note.
Everyone
has their unique way of remembering information and taking notes and putting it together. I've actually drive on really bad roads called expressways, and people are reading. They're texting. They're doing all of it and weaving. You're just watching this happening. He was in the outer lane. Now he just went over two lanes to the. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he'll go into the meridian and end up in the other over there. And we had 60 wrecks out here when we had a little bit of AC weather. Oh, uh-huh. It's slick. Now I've forgotten how to drive. Big pile ups all of it. So welcome to Cleveland.
I enjoy people who text while they drive. That's job security. The job that pays the bills is I'm a paramedic. So, hey, if you want to drive stupid, I will show up.
Oh, yeah,
I will
there
make
you
fun
go.
Of you.
Oh, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. The ambulance, they're the worst drivers in the world, the ambulance drivers. What are you talking about?
Oh, you said the ambulance driver. Never say that. That is like the ultimate of insults.
I know.
Never. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, I'm hurt. Okay, I'm over it.
Thank you for allowing me to torture you this hour. And you came back for seconds, so what can I say?
Not too bright.
We're having a great time together. It is tremendous to love writing, have a passion for it, feel comfortable about it. Laissez-faire, as the mood, the spirit, really, boom, now you're ready to go, you can have that luxury. I think mm-hmm. it's tremendous.
Yep. I'm just, like I said, I'm having fun. I'm writing right now. There's going to be a third and final book in what I call the Dandy Flowers series. I'm working on it. I'm kind of stuck. And so when I got stuck, I just decided to do something else. So I'm writing a short story that I'm going to release as an e-book, and I'm giving that one away. And
wow.
Tentative.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so many hats to wear as an author today
mm-hmm.
because of the technology, the tools,
sure.
the social networking opportunities, the internet, the way that we can communicate with each other instantly, all at the same time, with whatever message. It's a great age to communicate.
Yes, it is. And coming from growing up on the farm many years ago when I was still on a party line, and that hasn't been all that many years ago, to instantaneous communication. You know, I've got a friend, had friends down like in New Zealand, and we're talking in real time, and that's amazing, talking, you know, all the way on the other side of the world, and we're talking just like you and I are talking right now. So, yeah, it's the technology is, I think, both a blessing and a curse in some instances, but I'm having fun using it.
You know, that's a great question. I wonder how many individuals on how many nations on Earth I've insulted. Boy,
hey, well,
I'd like to see that list. I mean,
if you find the list, we can identify countries you haven't insulted. Let me know, and I'll back you up. I'll take care of the ones you forgot.
Well, audience, thank you for your kindness. I have to say hello to our military personnel as you exit. Although I know there's at least 100,000 of you still there. Thank you for tuning in, for listening as you go to your other duty stations. Thank you for sharing Artists First Radio and Authors First with your friends, social networking sites, military personnel. Thank you very, very much. A large segment of those who listen regularly are academics and are military people, and we love all of you. Thank you for your intellectual support and for sending authors to us from all points of the globe. I've interviewed them in Switzerland and Germany and England and Israel and Afghanistan and all points in between and all over Asia and the United States. They're all welcome. You're all welcome here, and we love having your voices. And so thank you for listening to Authors First with Tony Kaye and our guest this hour, Jordan T. Maxwell, has joined the ranks of guests. Thank you for being our guest and supporting the arts on Artists First Radio. Dandy Flowers, a book trailer? You know, talk about technology. When did this occur in the process?
That occurred about a year or so ago, and I did it all myself on my nice little laptop, and using just a very common software that comes with most computers. I just was able to secure the photos, secured the music, and then I started putting it together. And from start to finish, the whole project might have taken me 6 hours, but that's because I'm kind of slow sometimes. So I had a lot of fun doing that. I've got to build one for the second book. I haven't done that yet. Just have been lazy and haven't done it. But that's easy to do, at least for me. I don't know about most folks, but I guess I'm a little techno-savvy in that regard.
Well, we could send, you know, a couple thousand your way, and you could do theirs.
Well, hey, you know, we could talk. That's right. We'd get her done.
I mean, authors, they're always needing resources. And, you know, maneuvering the technology is something that everyone can't do, but you have a skill. My Lord, it's great. That's a resource to be able to support other authors.
Well, I just built another small video, about a 20-second one here over the weekend. But my technical advisors were here with me, my children, and they were really upset because I was taking too long to get it done because they could do it quicker. So whenever I have problems, I contact my 13-year-old daughter and my 11-year-old son, and they come in and bail me out. So.
Yeah, and it's fabulous. It makes the whole family involved.
Oh, sure.
You know, and so they know that you're serious, that you're an author, and that, hey, here's Dad. He wants to do it himself. He wants to figure this out, you know.
Yeah,
they know.
Right.
They know that it's a lot of work to be an author, to spend that time, to write it out, and now find a positioning, to marketing, making sure that those who would be interested in the Dandy Flowers, Laura's Diaries, and your material can see it. That's tough.
That is tough. That is very tough. I struggle with that, the whole marketing aspect. And I'm always looking for ways to promote it, hence coming on to your show, Tony Kay, and a couple of times now. And, you know, short of standing out on a street corner begging people to buy, you know, I can see myself sometimes with the sign, you know, we'll let you read my book for food, and you know, or something like that. But the marketing aspect is a little difficult. Learning a lot of things not to do, learning a few things what to do. But with the social media like Facebook, I have friends with several authors, a couple of hundred probably, and we just kind of get together, chat. Hey, have you tried this? Hey, look at this. Hey, you know, do this or that. And it's a slow process, but having fun. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, find something you want to do. Don't do it to make money. That's a nice thing to have happen, but do it because you want to do it. You know, when it becomes a job, it becomes a job. I'm still doing this because it's a passion. And there's a lot of people out there who are helping me, and we're just going to keep going and keep plugging along, and who knows, maybe lightning will strike and something really interesting will happen.
Jordan, I have a really, really big question, okay?
So sure.
Now,
okay.
Should I sit down?
Yes,
you should sit down.
Get ready
for this one.
Okay.
This is a great question from Tony Kay. You heard it here. All right.
Okay.
The book, the cover, Laura's Diaries. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a number 2 lead pencil, yellow.
Absolutely.
with the eraser on top. Perfect condition. Excellent grind on the bottom. Nice sharp tip.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the hand?
I have no idea. That is a stock photo that I bought from a stock photo agency. So I just bought the rights to use it, and then I bought a second picture, which is of a dandelion that's gone to seed, and I just cut the seeds out and put them up in the upper right-hand corner like you see there, and I put that cover together. But no, that's a stock photo. I have no clue where it came from, but I wanted something that would, you know, Laura's Diaries. Obviously, you write your diaries, and when she would have been writing them, there was not the internet, there wasn't Facebook. And so, you know, you get the old number 2 lead pencil out and get you a notebook and start writing. So,
I thought it was Laura's hand.
Well, it could be. I mean, anything is possible. But yes, it is Laura's hand. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. It's Laura's hand, and it captured a moment in time. In fact, you really can't read it, but underneath the pencil, she's talking about an up-and-coming DJ named Tony Kay. And she was just how wonderful he was. And so, is that pretty bad? Was that really, really sucky there?
No, I can accept any form of praise and accolade. My ego can, any stroking whatsoever is much appreciated. Just go right ahead. Laura, I'm glad that I made an impression and made it into your diary, at least.
It says something about Fort Leonard Wood, and it just kind of went downhill from there, so.
Oh, been there, yes. Spent some serious time there, and eating bugs is not fun. Yes, those were the days. Those were the good old days. Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. We used to, I won't go, never mind.
Laura's
Diaries, back to the hand. It is her, she is writing, this is her journal. So you're thinking in the female sense.
Yes, and in the first book and in the second book, the first time Jerry and Laura actually kiss, it's mentioned. The first book is from Jerry's perspective. In Laura's Diaries, it is from her perspective, and I have had several ladies say, you had help writing that. No man can write like that, and I swear to you, this is the honest to God's truth, I wrote every word of it. Nobody helps me because I have that much ego. If it's going to be there, it's going to be mine. And it's just, I don't know, just a nice, sweet story.
Well, right now, wait a minute. Now, Laura is left-handed.
I guess she is.
Well, she is. She's left-handed. Laura is left-handed. If you look at her finger posture, she is left-handed. Okay, I know left-handed. I can write left. Tony K can write left-handed and right-handed. There's a word for that. It's kind of weird.
Ambidextrous.
All right. There's a few of us out there, and play ball that way too. Makes great competitive advantage. She's a lefty, and so in a sense, you are thinking. Like, well, you have to think like a woman.
Oh, yeah.
To be Laura and to write her diary.
Well, fortunately, it's not. The whole story is not just her diaries. It's just little snippets, and then there's the fictional letting the creative juices flow, filling in and fleshing it out, and filling in the rest of the story there. But yeah, until you mentioned it, it never even dawned on me that was a left hand on the cover.
Well, it's so, very well. Everything you're doing is very Shakespearean.
Forsooth.
Because in that time there were no women playing the female parts; there were men dressed as women playing the parts.
Yep, that is true.
So that's all right to be Shakespearean. I give you a compliment. What to stretch yourself and out of being what we are, men, thinking that way, growing up, and now thinking from her point of view and really putting that out there for any other woman to read, that's large. That's great. It requires effort. Or maybe for you, it wasn't so much. There were other female role models, perhaps, that were lurking in the past.
There's been a few. There's been a few.
Your mother?
Mom is actually very much in the story. And I don't remember which book it is. I can't remember where I put it. But where Laura cooks Jerry supper for the first time, and she cooks beets. And she cut the tops off the beets before she cooked them, and all the beet juice bled out, so they looked like pale blobs. My mother actually did that the first year my dad and her were married, and that's been about almost 52 years ago. So yeah, mom's in there. You can't help but not draw on who you grew up with, who you grew up around. You know, whether you want it there or not, it's part of who you are. And I grew up on a farm outside of a very little town, and a lot of the things from that little town and in that area, I put into the story. You know, you go with what you know. I couldn't write about, the inner city of Los Angeles because never been there. And so, like I said, you go with what you know.
Absolutely. And once you're there, then you can embellish and move forward. You know, I mean, it becomes just one of those historical elements of your experience that makes the material so believable for the reader. And that's what we're all about as writers, is making the story believable. That people actually think these characters exist and that this is an ongoing drama yet to be released.
Yep. I've had several people say, did this really happen? And I say, well, parts of it really happened. But the story as you read it in the book, no, that is totally total fiction, embellished with a little bit of real events that did happen, both in the wider world and stuff that happened to me and or that I know about from my family. There's a barn that I talk about where they have a party. The barn has a staircase going up into the hayloft, which I've only been in one of those barns, and it was my great uncle's. That's the barn that the image that I drew on. And we go with what we know.
All right, now Jordan T. Maxwell cannot be heard. I've punched him out. He can hear me, but he cannot be heard at all, okay? Now, this is Jordan's opportunity to really cough real loud or take a drink of water or or beverage, and while I'm rambling on. This is Tony Kay. You're listening to the Artist First World Radio Network. We're interviewing Jordan T. Maxwell, our guest. Laura's Diaries, his second book. The website, dandyflowers.com, on any mobile device. He's on Facebook, he's social networked, and he's out there in a big way. Great material, wonderful read, affordable ebook. Download it right now, have it, enjoy it, share it. If you don't believe Tony Kay or our guest, just look around. Go to the web. You'll find out right away that we're dealing with someone who loves the arts, passionate about his project, and sees it through to completion, which I think is tremendous. That today, an author can create and invent and put it all out there and publish the book and have it available, do the marketing, the website, be engaged with an audience like this on Authors First. It's a tremendous opportunity. If you have a book hidden in you, then it can be done. And our guest this hour, Jordan T. Maxwell, is proof positive of that. Hey, maybe you're an author who said, boy, I'd like to have a book trailer. I think this gentleman would be happy to help you out. And certainly get in touch. Now, I've given Jordan some time to clear his throat, clear his mind, and let's welcome him back to Authors First. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. That was ever so kind. I got a nice little drink there and listened to you just
ramble on.
Ramble on, but you ramble on about a topic that I dearly love, and well, of course that's me.
Yeah,
so
that's right. you know, and I think people realize when they listen to Authors First and the quality of guests that we have on our shows that people do like, really love it. You know, drudgery is getting up. I have to do what I have to do. But if you enjoy writing, that's time well spent, because it's a passion that you love and enjoy, and it influences your children and everyone around you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, my daughter is 13, and she is an avid reader. She read the Harry Potter series, all 7 books, and those are some pretty thick books. She read all 7 of them in 6 weeks, just one right after the
other.
Wow. Yeah, she poured right through them. My son, not so much. He's not much of a reader. He does like to read certain things, but you know, he's getting there. He's coming along. He's just different. He is his own person, and I've got to find ways to connect with him so he'll do his reading. Sometimes that is like just do it, but my daughter has read both my books, and you know, when they've come out, they've just been my biggest cheerleaders. When the first one came out, they saw it on the shelf at one of the chain bookstores up in Kansas City. And I can tell you today, I think I said this the last time I was on, it was January the 27th, 2007. They saw it on the shelf and they said, Daddy, we're proud of you. Everything after that has just been gravy. At that moment, at 1:32 p.m., that's when it was, I kind of write those things down, I had more than succeeded, and that was a big time for me to
absolutely.
Okay, maybe I've done something right here, you know.
And it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, once it's done, once you've gone through the editorial process and you really mm-hmm. like your manuscript and you're proud of it, you can say, this is the way it was when I did it in 2000 or 2010 or whenever, right? Mm-hmm. And then now later on, maybe in 2020, 2040, 2060, you're looking back. You know, that material always is there.
Absolutely.
And going through the rigor of becoming an author, that's the hardest point. After that, you know the ropes. So the mechanism.
I'm still learning the ropes.
You're still learning, but you know the ropes. And it's the second book is easier, really, isn't it?
Actually, second book was harder.
Well, maybe in what area? Writing it or in putting it to market?
More in the writing it, because, you know, if I had to choose which book I'm more proud of, it would be the second book, because the second book when it finally came out, proved the first book just wasn't a fluke. And, you know, it's like, okay, I've got two under my belt now. Let's see what else we can do.
And then there'll be four and five and six.
I'm hoping. If I'd stay off Facebook and quit playing some of those online games, I would probably get a lot more done. But you know what?
Well, there's a book there.
There could be a book there.
Okay. I mean, that's character development, understanding, seeing through the lines, creating a story. You know, lots of things can happen, but social networking is so important today for authors to be out there with their material. And you're there, and I know it's time-consuming. Blog. Build a blog. Put everything you have on your regular website, dandyflowers.com, on the blog. That's just a different way of organizing the material. And
I've thought about blogging, and I don't know if I have that much to say on a daily or even weekly basis. It's hard enough sometimes to sit down and just add to whatever project I'm working on right now. But the blog,
It is a lot of work. There's no question. All of this self-promotion is time and effort. You know, otherwise you're hiring some other firm to do that.
Yeah, not so much. The firm is Jordan T. Maxwell himself.
Right, but I mean, someone's going to make a $50,000 investment in launching Laura's Diaries. There's your budget, $50,000.
Yeah, there
what
you
can
go.
You do for it? You'd probably get $1 million worth of coverage with that money doing it yourself. If you had to go through the layers of corporations, you probably wouldn't get very far with $50,000.
So,
you have to really think about your time as money, you know, as invested in if you were paying someone else to do this work.
That's a good point.
And if you were paying someone else $50 or $100 an hour to do your work and you did that, well, then you just paid yourself that. That's your investment.
Yep.
And I authors are discovering this technology, as you are, and using it in powerful ways to reach people. There are search engine optimization features you can solicit. SEOs and RSS feeds and different underlying technologies that you should buy into. There are five or six major search engines on planet Earth. So having the keywords underneath your website and really being descriptive that would in a way that would attract an audience help the search engine connect you with others. In other words, they're searching for something, you know, and then they see it. It's in a genre of material they're interested in. So positioning and allowing the internet to work for you 24/7 for an author is just awesome, just a great way to do it. And then, of course, ease of purchase on your homepage. You know, I shouldn't have to look for how do I buy. It should be a pretty quick decision to do and make that happen everywhere on the website. And that will go a long way because people are coming to you. They may not come in through your front door. They may come in through one of your other pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they have to have that, well, I want to buy it. Well, where do I do that? Well, it should be, boom, right there, easy, every single time.
Yeah. And I think my the pages on my website, I think no matter what page you're on, they're on the left side. You probably has a link to every other page.
That's
there,
right.
including the order page, the all important.
That's right.
Click and buy button there.
So, you know, that means that wherever they come from planet Earth, whatever door they've entered into your world, there's your list. Home, authors first, websites, blogs, books, play, the whole order, everything is in line. And that is so critical today for an author. And so you're playing the game. You're just, you know, just more of it. How many more millions of people can see it?
That's right,
and that raises the probability of sale and making it affordable. Hard copy again?
Pricing? Well, what I'm working on right now, the book Laura's Diaries right now, I'm selling I think for like $13. That's with I think with shipping. I'm not for sure. It's been a while since I've checked. I found the second book, the Laura's Diaries book, I actually self-published using Lulu.com. I'm getting ready to move that from Lulu to a different self-publishing entity called CreateSpace, and it's going to allow me to drastically reduce the price and have the same great book. And it's going to, I think I'm going to end up dropping it down to about $7.95. And I'll still make money. People will get a great book. We'll all be happy. It'll just, you know, birds will sing, flowers will bloom, rainbows and unicorns will be bouncing around. So it'll be a wonderful time. I'll be finishing that up probably between now and the first of the year. And so yeah, I'm going to lower the price so we can get some more people in there and a lot more interested, I hope.
Now, audience, since we've had our guest, Jordan T. Maxwell, on for, this is the second show, you'll have to go back and listen to the first interview, and there you'll learn that Jordan T. Maxwell is a paramedic for one of the top 10 EMS, Emergency Medical Services, agencies in the United States, and his career has spanned more than 25 years. So he's an emergency medical technician, paramedic, flight paramedic, clinical supervisor specializing in data verification, operations supervision. This guy knows his stuff. And now here he is working in this high-charged environment of caring for people in critical care situations, and on the other hand can write in the voice of a female. Laura's Diaries has this whole other thing going on over here. It's like, who are we dealing with, really?
Well, sometimes the medications don't work, and those other voices do slip out. So and one question I've always gotten, you know, when they read both the books, they say, "Are you going to write about EMS?" And my answer is a very firm, "Are you kidding? That's what I do for a living.
That's what I want to forget. I'm escaping.
That's my job. I want to have fun doing something else. Besides, I don't think I'm a good enough writer to capture all those subtle nuances of the EMS world. And besides, I've done this for 26 years now, bouncing around in ambulances of various types. Some that were meant to fly, some that weren't, but they did anyhow. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I do. And I'm not out there every day anymore on the street. If you get up to Kansas City, where I work, you really won't see me out on a truck very often. I teach now. I do a lot of teaching for the EMTs and medics in our service, and I like it that way. I've gotten older and a weaker back, maybe a little smarter. So,
special thanks to Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department's Medical Bureau for allowing us to capture a small portion of time with Jordan T. Maxwell. Please, no invoices.
I'll see if I can stop the invoice from coming. I know people, so I think it'll be okay.
Thank you. Thank you for taking care of that. So I know you have so many friends, people you have great relationships with so many out there, and beautiful daughters. Congratulations. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and thank you for coming back on with Tony K, that's me, this hour on Authors First. Before I let you escape, my clinches, anyone out there on planet Earth you want to say hello to, or any closing remarks or insults you'd like to throw my way from the previous hours?
Oh, I don't think any insults. How about we close this way? Let's just thank, and you've already alluded to this earlier, we need to thank our men and women who are in uniform. We're getting out of Iraq. Hopefully we can get out of Afghanistan without losing any more. Those ladies and gentlemen, you know, as a paramedic, I've seen some nasty stuff, but what they've seen is just, you know, oh my gosh, what they have gone through makes my job seem like a cakewalk. So we need to thank those folks. And of course, we got to send out the hi and the how are you and I love you to my daughter, Jordy, and my son, Christopher, and just all my friends. And for all the other people who I don't know, you should buy my books. You really should. Then you'll get to know me, because I'm just a really cool guy. And modest, too.